Our actions and choices can result in rewards as well as consequences. The times of reward, yeah, that's the easy time, isn't it? It's what we do when faced with consequences that charts the path of our life is about to take. My next guest was living the life of rewards as the front man for the metal band Lamb of God until one action one day brought about some consequences. He not only survived, but utilized them for the next stage of his life. He shares his life and life-changing story in his new book, Dark Days. He'll also be making various signing appearances in our region in the New York, New Jersey area, including bookends at 211 East Ridgewood Avenue, Ridgewood, New Jersey, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. Say good morning to Randy Blair. Good morning, Randy.
Good.
And thanks for being here. It's randybly.net on the web. And give us a background on the story. You're in Prague, Czechoslovakia, another tour, another stop, another performance, but something really different happened this one night.
Yeah, you know, it was 2012, and we landed, we flew from Norway, my band did, flew from Norway to Prague, and got off the plane, and we had a day off. Was going to go do some exploring, because Prague's a beautiful city, and we were supposed to play the next day. And when I got to the end of the jetway, my band and I were pulled to the side, and there was what looked like a SWAT team. There were five large masked men with machine guns and pointy knives and all that good stuff, and three plainclothes detectives, and one woman head detective. And they had all our passports, and she came up to me and said, "Are you David Bly?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she handed me a sheet of paper telling me that I was being charged with manslaughter and concerning the death of a fan from our one previous concert there 2 years ago, and said that I had acted willfully and maliciously to injure this young man, thereby resulting in his death. And then they hauled me off to prison for 37 days in Prague, a 123-year-old prison named Pankratz Prison, kind of infamous place. And then after this long fiasco, with I paid bail twice, almost up to $500,000, and I finally got let go. Then they indicted me, and I decided to go back to trial. You know, we had no idea any of this stuff had happened, that anyone had been hurt, much less died. So it's kind of a shock when you land in a foreign country and you think you're having a day off and you're going to go play a rock show the next day, and then you're stuck in a prison. The book is the story of that. It's kind of a surreal Kafka-esque tale.
To be sure, especially the fact that after your indictment, you're informed that you're facing 5 to 10 years in that 123-year-old prison, maybe even a worse situation, given the state of affairs over there. When that happened, I mean, you're looking back after, because at the time, because you were still, if I remember correctly, during that show, you were still flying on booze and everything else. You cleaned up after that, not because of that, but after that. But there was never any thought of stopping the show when that happened, because just the scene of a heavy metal show, I mean, things get crazy sometimes. You think, okay, one more night, one more funky thing, let's keep the thing going.
Yeah, it is important to note, though, I was sober. I hadn't had anything to drink that day of that show in 2010, that the incident occurred in which the young man was injured. I had a couple of drinks later after we left, because I got a phone call that a friend of mine had died. I'll be sober if I don't mess it up 5 years in a couple of months, you know. But at that point, I was almost done with my drinking. But that day, I wasn't drunk at all. So it wasn't like I was sloppy on stage doing right. Something. It was just another crazy show. And the club owners, and promoter and so forth, in our contract, we stipulate a properly placed barricade and properly trained security, to prevent people from running on stage, because our crowd is rather rowdy. And there was none of that night. There were tons of people on the stage that night who didn't belong. It wasn't just this one young man. So you know, we'd never played Prague before. And we didn't really know what would happen if we stopped that show. I tried to make it as clear as possible to the audience, you know, that this shouldn't happen, that these people shouldn't be up there, but they didn't, you know, drunken metalheads aren't known for their restraint at times.
This is true. You know, caught up in the moment, I guess we would say.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened, you know. So, you know, I definitely should have stopped that show, and I write that in the book, and that's, you know, hindsight is 20/20, regrettably. But, you know, as far as the young man that's dead, I have no memory of him whatsoever or any sort of incident. And, you know, our government had been asked by the Czech government to cooperate in an investigation after the young man died a month after the show. And they said, no, this sounds ludicrous, and refused to do it. But they also didn't inform me that I was, you know, facing a manslaughter charge in a foreign country. So we just, you know, we took the next show offer that was there. It happened to be 2 years later, and showed up, and it was just really bizarre. It was like, whoa, all of a sudden, you know, you're going to prison maybe for 10 years. Right. You know, it's a strange experience, you know.
All right, Randy Bly, his book, Dark Days. He is going to be doing a series of signings in our region coming up on Monday at the Strand in New York City at 7 p.m. Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Tuesday at 6 p.m. in the Book Review in Long Island at 7 p.m. More info about the book and everything to do with Randy and his music at randybly.net. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned, all through the book, Dark Days as well, about your sobriety and recovery. Congratulations, coming up in 5 years with that. And I think you're going to make it if you can get through prison in Czechoslovakia. How tough can sobriety be? Although, having walked that path myself, I know it ain't an easy trip. But in a way, prison life and sobriety are sort of the same thing. It's a day-by-day situation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, when I first quit drinking, you know, I think one thing that people, you know, who are alcoholics or have a drug addiction, or any sort of addiction, really, whether it be food or anything, something that's out of hand in their life, something they use to make them feel better, if they start thinking, I can never do this again, you know, for the rest of my life, I can't take my medicine, that's when they get in trouble. But if you stay focused on the moment, you know, eventually, for just, you know, the moment or the hour or that one day, if you can do that, then eventually all these moments and hours and days string together, and before you know it, some time has passed. You know, that was something I learned when I got sober, was staying in the moment and not thinking too far in the future. And that served me incredibly well in prison, you know, because I was facing a very frightening, nebulous future. I had no idea what was going to happen. And if I had started going up in my head and thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to, you know, maybe be in prison for 10 years and all this other stuff, instead of, like, taking stock of my situation and realizing, okay, you know, you have food, clothes, and shelter. This is, you know, not a pleasant situation, but nobody's trying to kill you. And this is not an actual physical emergency right now. And, you know, sometimes you just have to be patient. And so, you know, that's what I tried to do in prison. I tried to take it one moment at a time without thinking too much about the future, because, you know, yesterday is history and tomorrow is a mystery. I'm much better off staying in the moment rather than bemoaning the past or worrying about something a tomorrow where I don't know what's going to happen, you know?
It is a life lesson. I mean, people go through situations with the thought of what they're going to lose. Sounds like you wound up actually gaining a little more strength than what you had going into all this.
I mean, you know, there is a saying, that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And to a degree, that's, I believe. I mean, I didn't come out of this whole experience thinking I'm Superman or anything. But I did come out, you know, realizing, okay, that's another thing, I got through it and I lived, you know, I lived through that, and it wasn't a pleasant situation, and I didn't pick up a drink or a drug, which you can do in prison, you know.
I knew easily
the drugs were there, you know, but I didn't do it because I knew it wouldn't make anything better.
Well, what Randy does with this story, he is not just a writer with Dark Days. He is a storyteller, and he makes you give a damn real early as you go into his book, Dark Days. And he's going to be doing a series of appearances in our region starting on Monday at the Strand in New York City at 7 p.m. Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey at 6 p.m. and the book review in Long Island at 7 p.m. More info, randybligh.net, darkdaysbook.tumblr.com. We have those links over at our website. And Randy, I got no doubt that even though it's a day-by-day situation, you got the strength, you got the determination, and you got the spiritual vision, judging by how you communicate your life in Dark Days, to make it 5 years beyond 5 years easily and then some. So congratulations on staying strong through the challenges, coming back from the ledge, and for willingly share your story, because I think a lot of people are going to learn a lot from what you write about in Dark Days. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, sir. It's my hope that the book maybe can provide some help to someone in some small way. You know, maybe there's something useful in it.